who are not offended at me.
Well, it's so good to be here at this Den of Thieves. I think there is a commandment about thou shalt not steal, but no, we gladly shared them with all of you. Our building inspectors aren't letting us use them out there at the Syosset campus, and we don't want them sitting in a closet someplace. We want them to be used, and so we're glad that they're here. My wife and I moved to New York in 1971. We both had grown up in Ohio. In fact, when we got married, my wife had never been more than 2 hours away from home. So what a shock we got. We'd never been to the Northeast. I'd never even been to Pennsylvania, okay? We came from Ohio, came to New York, and boy, were things different here. Number one, the food was a lot better, okay? But people were kind of in your face. New Yorkers were kind of like right there, you know? And they weren't using any filters, nobody, they weren't restraining themselves. Whatever they told you from their mouth, they gave it to you nice and strong. Sometimes they even used hand signals to go with it, you know? We were like, whoa, my goodness, what's going on here? Well, everybody said, relax, this is the way they treat everybody, you know? You know, get used to this, you'll be all right. Develop some thick skin, you know? You'll be able to handle all of this. Well, I found out that, you know, this is almost like, you know, living in New York's like being in middle school, okay? You know, Nelson here on the screen, Nelson and Bart Simpson have kind of like changed the whole, you know, you can just say whatever's on your mind and be nasty and ugly and, you know, ridicule people. I understand that. I grew up with the name Crabtree, okay? And so people had endless amounts of funny things to say about it. In fact, there was actually a cartoon on TV when I was young, very popular, called Tom Terrific. And in Tom Terrific, the villain of the cartoon was a man named Krabby Appleton. Rotten to the core. That's what they call. So guess what? At recess, that's all I heard, right? And it's got, you know, people say these things, and it kind of gets under your skin. It kind of gets in, it kind of becomes a label on you with all these things. Well, today we're going to talk about, you know, these offenses that come to us and how we respond to the offenses that come. I found out here in New York, though, with all the, you know, the in-your-face kind of things, I found out that New Yorkers, with their willingness to be direct and tell you what they really think, I found out they got a lot of hurt going on inside them. In fact, what I noticed was so different, here in the Northeast, so many people are willing to hold on to a grudge and hold on to something bad that happened at Thanksgiving last year or at the picnic or on our trip to the beach, and they say, I've stopped talking to them. Really? Stop talking to them? This is your brother. Oh, I haven't talked to him. How long? A week? No. A month? No. It's been a couple years since I talked to my brother because of what he said to my wife, you know, and it's like, my goodness, for all of our openness and willingness to talk about everything, we hold on to some of these hurts and we hang on to them in such a way that, we can't work out our problems. I kind of feel like, you know, I like this bird sitting on the wire, and I kind of wonder now, what happened? Did that one bird offend all the rest of those birds? Or did all the rest of those birds offend him, you know, with all of that? But I think you know what that feels like. I mean, some of you at work, maybe you feel this like, well, this is how it feels for you at work. Or at school, you know, you're kind of like set apart from other people. Or maybe even in your own family can be like that. I love this church. I love Shelter Rock Church. I love this Manhasset campus. I'm so glad to be here with all of you. And I don't want everyone, I just want this church to get stronger, more effective, to be a place that just is making a difference in this community, that we would be known for the way that we love, the way we give, the fellowship and that we have here. The people, when they walk in the door, would say, wow, this is a special place with all that. So I don't worry too much about people attacking the church from the outside. You know, other places in the world, they might come and burn down our church. Or they might attack us and attack us with physical force. But in America, it seems like, and especially here on Long Island, what we ought to really be careful of is that we don't destroy ourselves from the inside out and destroy ourselves by the way that we let our relationships, go sour on us. The way that we hold bitterness towards each other. Things happen. We're ordinary people. Some people say, I'd like to go to the perfect church. I said, well, that's good. I said, if you ever find it, don't join it, okay? Because then it won't be perfect, because it'll be people just like you and me in that church all the time. And people always say, well, you know, I want to go to a church where I won't be offended. I'm like, well, I have to tell you, if you're going to come to Shelter Rock, you'll probably be offended, okay? We have a good way, you know, we make mistakes sometimes. We say things we shouldn't say, and sometimes we do things we shouldn't do, and sometimes we don't do the things that we should do. And sometimes these things just really build up on us with all these things. In fact, churches often are destroyed from the inside by the invisible things, you know, the unforgiveness and the grudges and the bitterness and the blocks that they have between people. A church that I knew pretty well and liked a great deal, several years ago, a pastor and his wife and their two kids went to Florida with a couple from the church who was on the board and leading in the Sunday school program, and their two kids. They had a good time in Florida. The men flew back to get back to work, and the women came back on a 24-hour car trip. It's a long drive from Florida, do you know that? And a lot of things can happen. And in fact, you know, you stop many times to go to the bathroom with four kids, and you're trying to decide where you're going to eat, and not everybody likes it, and everybody's getting tired, and everybody's thinking, well, this is the right way to go, and this is the other way, and the next thing you know, it's like your kids are causing our problem, and your kids are doing this, and by the time they got to New Jersey, nobody was talking, okay? When they got home, you know, things kind of let loose, because when the men found out about this, they were like, how dare your wife talk to my wife about this whole thing, you know? She should respect my, you know how these things go, you know, these things just escalate. And it gets bigger and bigger. And the problem is that they were all in the same church, the pastor and one of the leaders of the church. Before 2 weeks went by, I couldn't figure out what was going on. Everybody had picked sides. I'm with the pastor, and I'm with this family over here. And before you know it, the church is going at it with each other. And it didn't take long till the church just dwindled down. All the trouble that's there. And you think, are we so offended that we can't really just work this out? Can't we really apologize and ask for forgiveness to make these things happen? These reckless words, these unkind comments, you know, these personal offenses, unresolved conflict. I mean, I think the enemy will use that to destroy more churches here than he will to use outside force. Well, the Bible is really, really true and really accurate. The more I read it, the more I say it really has us figured out. Look at this passage from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. It's talking to the church. The Apostle Paul says, now, all of you in the church, get rid of all that bitterness and the rage and the anger, the brawling. Boy, it must have been a wild church, right? The slander, along with every form of malice, you know, those things where that we do things to hurt other people. People say, well, that's not really us. I mean, we're not really a church like that. Well, evidently in the New Testament they had churches like this. I don't know if you heard or not, Pastor Steve, when he proposed this series called, you know, Not Offended, he said, well, maybe some Sunday we ought to have everybody, when they come to church, we give everybody a hat when they come in. We say, if you voted for President Trump, we'll give you a red hat. If you voted for Hillary Clinton, we'll give you a blue hat. And if you didn't vote, we'll give you a black hat, okay? And then we'll just see what happens the rest of the morning, all right? We'll be looking at each other like, really? I thought you were educated, you know? How don't you know what you're doing to our country? You know, like we'd be so upset and just, you know, we probably would be brawling, right? The police would be here to kind of separate the, you know. Well, guess what? The Bible knows who we are. The Bible says, listen, don't get a thicker skin. Don't try to somehow be resistant to the slander or the malice or the unkind words that are being said. He writes us a prescription, and here's what it is. Be kind and compassionate to one another. And forgive each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. So if we're sick as a church, or if we're upset with the church, and if we're unhappy about being here, and we're very, you know, God's just going to write the same prescription. He's going to write it and hand it to you and say, here, go get this filled. Go get this filled from the inside. Let the Holy Spirit come in and begin to change your attitude. Be kind. Be compassionate. And forgive each other. That's how we get through all these situations. This morning, we're reading from Luke chapter 17. Jesus is giving his disciples similar instructions. You can find it on page 1049 if you're using the Shelter Rock Bibles. Here, Jesus has been traveling. He's been speaking, especially working with his disciples along the way. And he comes and says these words to them. This is the word of God this morning. Chapter 17, Gospel of Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause people to stumble are bound to come, but woe to anyone through whom they come. It would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble." Jesus seems like he's describing New York, right? He says, the trouble's going to come, okay? Just expect this. There's going to be conflict. There's going to be, misunderstanding. It's going to happen. But don't be part of this. And don't be part of making this happen with other people. And then he seems to know something about the mafia and how they get rid of people that are causing trouble, okay? And he says, that would be better for that to happen to you than to be destroying the church and destroying the fellowship and destroying what's going on here. So in verse 3, then he says, so watch yourselves. That's good advice right there. Just don't be worrying about everybody else. Just watch yourself, okay? Just put your focus on that. If your brother or your sister sins against you, boy, they do that a lot, right? Rebuke them. That doesn't mean attack them. It means bring it up to them and say, look, you know what happened? What you said, this is what I heard. When you didn't come and you said that you were going to come, it would talk to them about what happened. Rebuke to say, this is what went on. And if they repent and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong to do that. I shouldn't have said that. I didn't mean that. If they repent, then forgive them. And even if they sin against you seven times, not in a year, seven times in a month. No, what does it say? If they sin against you seven times in a day, you've got to be kidding, right? Seven times in a day, and seven times they come back to you saying, I repent, you should say, hey, enough of you, get out of here, right? What does it say? What should you do? Read it with me. You must forgive them. Boy, that word must, how did Jesus put that word in there? He's not giving us much wiggle room with all that, is he? At that point, the disciples are kind of like blown away. They're like, oh boy, what did we get ourselves into here? I like this whole thing about talking about the kingdom of God and everything else, but we got all these idiots around us and they're hurting us all the time and we're keeping them in place. And Jesus is saying, we've got to forgive these people? So what do they say? It's classic. I love this verse 5, What do they say? Increase our faith, right? They're going, we can't do this, Lord. This is beyond our, we just need, if it's faith that's going to make this happen, then you better give us a lot of it, okay? Because we don't have it in us to get through this. Anybody here feel like that? And what God asks us to do is really beyond what you're capable of doing. I mean, some of you are already thinking about people that you have a grudge against, people that you have unresolved conflict with, and you're going, well, the Bible says be nice to them, but I just can't work this out with them. And Jesus is telling us pretty clearly here, hey, trouble's coming. Don't be a carrier of the trouble. Instead, get me into your life, because I can help you resolve these things. Right now on all the ads are about the flu season that's coming. All you senior citizens, okay? Guess what? They want us to go out and get the flu shot to prepare because the flu's coming. The virus is coming. You better get ready with all this. That's kind of almost what the passage is saying to us here. the virus is coming. All this disputes, disagreements, and misunderstandings, it's all coming. So it's saying, better get a shot. You better get a vaccination. You better get inoculated with the Holy Spirit so that you'll be ready that when the virus comes to you, you can reject it and not be a carrier of what it is that, you know, this thing that the enemy's trying to do in us. And I see Jesus just laughing and smiling when the disciples say, we can't do this. He's going, exactly. That's why you need to abide in me. That's why you need to be connected to me. Apart from me, you can do nothing with all this. Don't you love forgiveness? I have a family that told me their story recently. They had large medical bills and hundreds of thousands of dollars. Her insurance paid a bunch of it. But they, I think they had, what, $86,000 left, something like that? And they were like, $86,000? How many years will it take us to pay this? We're a whole peril. We got children growing up, and you know, we're not going to be able to ever take a vacation. I mean, we're going to be just strapped with this whole thing. So my friend said, they called from the hospital, from the billing department, and they said to him, you know, you have an outstanding bill. And he wanted to say, yes, I know that. I've been getting bills from you every week. I understand. You know, he just wanted, but he just clamped his mouth shut, tried to listen, and the lady said, it's a very high balance. And he's like, yes, I know. You don't need to remind me of this whole thing. And he says, but we've been looking at this, and we, you know, we have an assistance program here, and there are some funds available. So we took it to our committee, and I want to tell you that our committee has examined your bill, and we've decided to cancel all of your debt here with the hospital. Yes, you can clap. I don't know. My friend said he was jumping up and down on the phone, right? Can you imagine that somebody would call you and say, look, we've just looked at your situation, and we're going to take care of all of this. It's going to be paid by someone else. Do you believe in forgiveness, right? I mean, there's nothing like that situation to kind of really tell you that this is the best day of the year, right? Well, guess what? This Bible, this Christian faith that we have, it's all built around forgiveness. The whole story of Jesus is built around the bill that you and I could never pay and him coming to take care of, to cancel all of our debts for us. God's always been in the forgiveness business. Look at this from Psalm 32. I like these verses. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you, and I stopped trying to hide my guilt. And I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord. And you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. God loves doing this. He just waits for us to come to him, and he pours out his forgiveness on us, and it doesn't hold any grudges against us, doesn't you know, keep us in need of him. He just gives it to us freely. Then look at Colossians 3, when Jesus came, you know, and this change he was making in the church. Paul writes to the church there, and he says, now, just bear with each other. And some of us, that's good advice for us. You know, some of us, we kind of wear each other out. We kind of strain our nerves, and we kind of, you know, kind of overdo it a little bit. He says, just bear with each other and forgive one another. And if any of you has a grievance against someone, well, forgive them as the Lord has forgiven you. See, God loves to do this. He loves, it's his plan that we would come together, not to be perfect people, we're certainly far from that, but we would come together, and then in the midst of our mistakes and our bumping heads, in the midst of our, you know, flaws and problems, we learn how to love and forgive each other. And he can really set the example for us. That makes all the difference. Now, I need some help this morning, and today is Family Worship Sunday, and there's a lot of young people here who are usually downstairs in the Sunday school program, and they're here in church, and they're kind of thinking, when is this guy going to be done, you know? But I want you to have some fun today. So if you're like kindergarten to sixth grade, could you just get up and just come up and see me? Because I want to see if any of you can make some paper airplanes. And Caleb is here, and Jasmine and Kayla, Albia, yes, come on up. Come on up. We're going to make some paper airplanes for a little bit. All right, run over to these guys. Okay, it's right there. You jump right in there, right there. There we go. Go over to the other side. They have some paper over there. Let's see if we can get some airplanes made here, all right? So come on in. Yes, come on. Yes, Ida, so hard. Here we go. Over there, over here, either one. Hopefully, this is going to not only give you a little few moments of rest. I remember my wife always said, I don't even know why I go to church. One boy on this side, one boy on this side. All I do is referee. She says, Jack, just buy me a striped jersey with a whistle that I can just, you know, that's how I'm going to survive in church. Keep these. Hopefully, you're getting a little rest here. And I think, I'm hoping and praying that maybe what they're going to do is going to teach us a little lesson, okay, with all of this. You see, forgiveness is really the best form of love that we can show to people. We love to say to people, I love you, I love you, I love you. But to forgive people really says that we love them. It's not easy. Sometimes forgiveness is very difficult. Sometimes it's very hard. Sometimes it's very costly. Sometimes it makes you really fear and doubt, you know, whether you're really being obedient to God and whether God's going to really work this out. Sometimes when forgiveness is granted and debts are canceled, well, we get nervous. We kind of wonder, you know, is this what I should be doing or not be doing? Am I hurting myself or am I doing what God wants me to do? A few years ago, there was a man in our neighborhood who needed some help. He came to look for me. You know, somehow you get the reputation. You're the pastor, all right? You're the pastor? Yes. We knew each other a little bit, and he said, I need to get another car. He said, or I need to repair the car I have. I need $600 because if I don't repair my car, I can't go to work. If I can't go to work, I don't get paid. And he said, so could you help me? So I said, okay. $600 was a pretty good chunk, and so I gave him $600, and I didn't see him for a few days. I wondered, is the car getting fixed, or what's happening with all this? He came to me a little later. I didn't see the car. He said, I need more work than I thought, and I really need to get the car going. I've got a paycheck waiting for me, but I really need $1,800. Now, I don't know, that. I guess. That's what was exactly what my feeling. I heard that voice inside me. Because at that point, $1,800 is a good amount of money for me, and I'm thinking, well, what should I do here? So my wife and I talked about it, prayed about it. We thought, well, he says, I'm going to get my paycheck. In 2 days, I'll pay you back. It'll all be taken care of. Well, we gave him the money, and 2 days later, he wasn't around. In fact, a week later, I still hadn't seen him, and someone came and told me, did you know he got arrested? Arrested for what? Oh, a felony charge, you know. He was involved in some kind of a robbery. And I'm going, I guess. And I was thinking, oh, I wonder if I'm going to get my $1,800 back. You know, did you notice I'm the pastor now? I've totally not even thought about what's this man going through being arrested and being in jail. There's only one thing that I'm really thinking about. My money, right? So you're caught in the middle of this whole situation. Well, he was found guilty. He was sent to jail. He eventually went upstate to prison. And I kept thinking, but what about my money, right? When am I going to get this back? When's he getting out, you know? And then somebody told me how much money people have when they get out of prison. He won't be paying me back, right? You know, you have those moments. We've all had them, whatever, you know, whether it's with money or it's your work or with the way that we talk to each other. Listen, you just have to come to the point where you have to say, I just have to let this go. God started pounding on me with the scriptures about forgiving him and writing to him in prison and staying in touch with him and going to see his family that was under tremendous pressure and trying to help them through this whole thing. And you know what? A couple years ago, he came out of prison, and we had a party, and we welcomed him. That $1,800 isn't even an issue with that anymore. He's on the right track. He's gone back to school. He's gotten a job. Things are falling into place. He told me this summer, he said, Jack, I love you. I love you and Becky. Thank you so much for that. You know, forgiveness, it's costly, it's scary, but it can pay the biggest dividends of anything else, you know? And I think that's one of the messages we want to get across here. Why is it hard to forgive people? Well, it's hard to forgive people because we feel so much superior to them. They've done something so terrible, they've hurt us. We're the good people, they're the bad people. And if you're not careful, you almost begin to act like, well, we're the godly people, and we kind of control people because we know that they've hurt us and they've hurt other people. And we kind of put them in that whole situation. We feel better than they are. We act self-righteous. We carry our unforgiveness around with us. And it doesn't really hurt them as much as it hurts us when we really refuse to forgive other people. Now, how are these Piper airplanes doing? We ready to fly? All right, so everybody stand up over here. Okay. And will you guys stand up over here? That'd be good. Now let's see what happens, okay? Should we throw them that way or this way?
This way.
Oh, you want to throw them this way? Okay, well, you got to go get them now, okay? So we'll go 5, 4, 3. Okay, here we are. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Here they come. Look at them. Pretty good, right? All right. Now listen, bring your paper airplane and come back up, okay? Bring your paper airplanes and come back up to see me. And okay, here we go. And Caleb and Jasmine and Albie are going to help you. Here we go. And what we're going to do is I've brought some stones along. And this will really help your plane roll like, really good. So we're going to put a stone. We'll either tape it or glue it in the back of your plane. Okay? So get a stone. And Albie is going to help you. You got to glue it in there. We got some tape. Put it right in the back tail of it. Okay? There we go. We got it. Here we go. Here we go. We'll put some glue right on this thing. Here we go. Put some glue on and get the stone in there. There we go. Oops, your stone's getting away. Put it in there. Where are you? Do you have a stone? We'll get you one here. Someplace, somehow. Here's one for you right here. There we go. You don't mind all the chaos here, do you? Is that all right? They're up here with me, so you're happy, right? Okay.
Pardon? The glue doesn't work.
Is that working? Okay.
Because they just fly out.
Okay. All right. Let's get the tape then. A little tape for you guys. Now we're gonna let them fly again. Okay. I'm gonna put that on there for me. So let's get ready. We filled up the baggage compartment here in the plane. Okay. We got all the baggage in. And here we go. I'll put that right in there.
Okay.
You hold on. Grab a hold of that. Grab the tape. There we go. Are you guys ready? Almost. You still need a stone, right? Here's some pennies. We'll put a penny in. Put some pennies in, some stones in. Okay. All right. So here we go, folks. Now, let's tell all of our parents to pay attention. Everybody almost ready? Not yet, almost. Lots of planes being built. I'm going to call JFK and tell him to warn him that there's going to be a little heavy air traffic here. We're coming on. So has anybody got an idea? What do you think is going to happen now? Pardon? You're going to paint?
Going to
create more drag. Drag's an interesting word. What's going to happen, do you think? Oh, some people are predicting that the planes aren't going to fly as good this time. Is that true?
Not really?
So if you have jet thrusters. Oh, yeah, is everybody ready? Okay, planes up. Here we go. We'll do 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, let's go. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. So what? Oh. That's pretty incredible. Now hold on just a second. So what happened? Why did all these planes fall down? Why didn't they go so good? What happened?
Because gravity, more gravity.
It was more gravity?
Yeah.
I think the gravity is the same as it was before.
But a little bit more because of heaviness.
Oh, the heaviness. Well, where was the heaviness?
The rock.
Yeah, it was in yours, right? Okay. So what do you think your parents ought to learn about this? Oh, what should we teach your parents from all this? What do you think? You'd have no idea, okay. That's why I was asking you. I have no idea either, you know.
Keep moving forward.
That would be
rock
a good lesson.
Don't far fly.
Yeah, planes with rocks in them don't fly very far. That's good. Go ahead.
I think it's that if you have too much forgiveness, your friendship will break down.
Okay, too much unforgiveness.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. Yes, that's good. No, unforgiveness is like putting bags into your closet. It's like carrying baggage in your life. So the more baggage we have, the harder it is for us to really fly. True? Did I get that right?
Yes.
Okay. Good job, everybody. Thank you for helping us. Go back and bug your parents now, okay? Now, you got the message, right? I mean, we're playing games here, but the truth is, some of us here, we've got stones, we've got rocks, we're carrying baggage. We come to church, we look around, we say everything's fine, everything's okay, but you know what? There's heaviness inside of us because we got situations with people that we haven't forgiven. We got things going on that are hurting us. Things that are really, really, you know, forgiveness is such a better way. It's a better way to deal with all the hurts and the disappointments. Only through forgiveness, I think, will healing come. And that's the only way for us to have health and confidence restored in our relationships. So easy to get caught in these traps of kind of saying, I'm justified to keep that rock there. I'm justified to hold on to this. Do you know what they did to me? And they haven't really shown that they're really sorry for all these things. But God didn't wait for us to kind of get our act together and repay him back for all the disrespect that we've shown to him. God just said, while we were yet sinners, Christ came and died for us. You know, we're going to celebrate the bread and the cup today. He came, broke his body, gave his blood before we ever even were willing to admit our sins, much less ask for his forgiveness. And that's what he wants us to do. Forgiveness isn't about forgetting. Forgiveness is about, well, first of all, making a connection to God. We have what I'd call a vertical commitment. When we understand that, you know, when bad things happen, when you do something bad that hurts me, my first connection is to look to God and to kind of say, God, okay, why are you letting this happen? I don't act like nothing happened. I don't say, everything's going well for me. I know that I was hurt, but what it really means is when I look to God, I'm basically saying, God, I'm not going to carry the wrong that they did, and I'm not going to let the bitterness kind of infect my system. I'm not going to let the flu get in me, the spiritual flu get in me and make me sick. I'm going to treat my offender in the way that you treat me, and I'm just going to somehow love him. I'm going to tell him the truth about what went on. We're going to talk about these things and see if we can work this out. But I've decided that as I've received God's grace, I'm going to give God's grace to my offender and see if they can work it out. And so my vertical connection now becomes a horizontal connection. You know, it's a way of kind of, you know, I take what God gives me and now I look to give it to the people who are right here with me. That I'm just like they are. One of the greatest books that I think has been written about this is a book called Total Forgiveness, R.T. Kendall. People from many different denominations read this book and say, this has really helped me. Well, we always knew the word forgiveness, but we really didn't understand what total forgiveness was really all about. I'd say Google it, pick it up. If you got forgiveness issues in your life, take a look at this. Here's some of the things he says. We don't understand forgiveness because we misunderstand what it really means. He says, here's what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that we're, when we forgive someone, that we're approving of what they did. It doesn't mean that we're pretending that evil never really took place. It doesn't mean that we're overlooking abuse. It doesn't mean that we're denying that others tried to hurt us, even repeatedly. It doesn't mean that we're letting other people just walk over top of us. That's not what forgiveness is about. It doesn't mean that we refuse to press charges when a crime has been committed. No, no, that's the right thing to do. It doesn't mean that we're forgetting the wrong that was done. And doesn't mean that we're pretending, you know, that we were never hurt. We were hurt. It did really cause damage and destruction in our life. But we can acknowledge all of that. We can do what's best, and sometimes some of these steps that we're taking, you know, is to correct these things and to stop other abuse and other things from happening. But we have to make sure that by forgiving it, we're letting go of it so that we're not going to be the ones that are going to carry out the punishment. Feeling that somehow that we're the ones that are going to, you know, come against them and hurt them, and we've got to pay them back, and we're going to hurt them by not talking to them or hurt them by talking to other people about how bad they are. And gossiping is the big way. You know, that's the number one defensive weapon. Just, you know, if you hurt me, guess what? I'm going to tell everybody about who you are. And then you're really going to feel the pain. And Kendall says, no, no, total forgiveness. That's not what that's about. C.S. Lewis was right. He said, everyone thinks forgiveness is a lovely idea until you have to forgive somebody, right? Until it's in your life and the people are in your face and you've got to come through all this. Lewis Smedes is another great teacher who talks about this. He says three things about forgiveness. There's kind of three stages that you come through. One is this: without diminishing the wrong that they've done, you're able to look at your offender and say, he's a human being just like me. He's a sinner just like I'm a sinner. That we're, in some ways, we're very much equal, even though he's done something to hurt me and I feel more self-righteous about the whole thing, like I didn't do this, he did it. Guess what? We're really the same in God's sight. And secondly, he says, listen, I surrender my right to get even. And that's a hard thing to let go of, but the greatest thing that we can do is just to release it and to say, I don't have to get even with them. I don't want to make them pay for the pain that they've caused me. Now the other part of me says, oh yeah, I really want them to pay. I want them to feel the pain that my family and I have felt through this whole thing. But in the end, we have to leave all the judgment and the punishment in the hands of a just and merciful God. And then finally, Smead says this, the third stage is this. This is when you'll know that total forgiveness is really starting to happen. It's when you can look at people and that you not only see them for the hurt that they cause, but you can feel the power to wish them well. You know who said this? It was a guy named Jesus. He said, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who hurt you and persecute you. You see, you'll know you've reached total forgiveness when you can begin to pray for the person who's hurt you. And you can pray that God will bless them and help them and lift them up and give them everything that he wants to give them. Then you know you've really crossed over. Two quick things and then we're done, okay? Forgiveness isn't an optional part of the Christian life. I wish I could say, well, you know, it's just a few of you will have to do the forgiving. The rest of us, we're just going to enjoy them, you know. No, no. Forgiveness is essential. It's a necessary part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus and to be a Christian. If we're going to follow him, then we must forgive other people. We really don't have any other choice. It's what he's done for us. It's what he gives us now to do for others. And then secondly is this. We will forgive others to the extent that we appreciate how much we have been forgiven. Did you hear that? It makes it easier to forgive other people the more you think about how much you've been forgiven. That's why we read God's word. That's why we're reminded. That's why we come to this table today to remember. What is it that God's done for us? How much has he forgiven us? Well, the more that that's squared away in our head, the more we're able to look at people and say, I can give more love. I can give more forgiveness. So if we're gonna follow him, you know, it's Jesus said, he who has been forgiven little loves less, you know, loves little. But he who has been forgiven much, well, he loves much and he forgives much. Well, our willingness to forgive is in direct proportion to how much we are conscious of how much we've been forgiven. Do you believe that? Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, we come to you today. We ask you for your help. This has been a hard thing. Well, I'm praying this morning that you would help us have soft hearts, and that you'd help us have courage. Some of us here, we've been hurt deeply by the things that other people have done to us. Some people have attacked us. Some people have lied about us. Some people have mistreated us. Some of us have been abused. Some of us have been sexually assaulted. We've been ridiculed. We've been belittled. We've been publicly humiliated. Some of us have been beaten physically. And some people have done these things to us repeatedly, and they've done it viciously. It's hard for us to really even think about forgiving them until we stop and remember what you've done for us and what you've done for them. These things that have happened to us have often hardened our hearts. They've made it difficult for us to hear your Holy Spirit in our lives. Sometimes when we want to worship you and love you, all we can think about is the person who's hurt us. Lord, we ask that you would help us. Soften our hearts. Help us know that you love our offender even as much as you love us. And give us courage to be able to love them. Give us strength to let go of our past. We pray that you'll give us courage to do the hard things and to let go of our bitterness, to give up our anger, to turn away from our resentment, to stop keeping score with everybody, and to enter into the miracle of forgiveness. Lord, we ask that you would build a new community of believers, a new community of faith and forgiveness in among us. That we would walk and connect with each other in a way that your Holy Spirit is between us and working through us and drawing us closer to you and to each other. That's our prayer today, Jesus. Give us courage, soften our hearts, and show us how to show your forgiveness to people around us. And we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.